All right, let's welcome in our next guest, talking Pac-12 recruiting. You can find him on Twitter at EMcKinneyESPN. He's the ESPN Pac-12 recruiting analyst. It is Eric McKinney. Eric, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Eric.
Yeah, absolutely.
So are there any late recruiting battles that any team, you know, USC or UCLA, even anyone at the top of these recruiting lists, are there any battles that fans should keep an eye out for?
Yeah, I mean, in the Pac-12, I think the one that Utah is in, defensive tackle Jay Tufele, I think he's a guy to really watch between USC and Utah. He has some other programs, Ohio State and Michigan and BYU in there too, but I think most people think it's probably going to come down to USC and Utah, and those two programs have battled for a number of guys out of that state, out of Utah, over the last couple of years. So he's definitely one to watch. Nebraska is another program that's kind of coming into Southern California, especially. A bunch of Pac-12 programs have battles against Nebraska for guys. I think a wide receiver down in Southern California, right there in Los Angeles, Joseph Lewis, looking at USC and Nebraska, Oregon trying to make a play for him as well. But those are probably two of the biggest names with battles really still going on for him.
Hey, Eric, if we look at all the teams in the Pac-12 right now, you know, it seems like UCLA has a couple of five-star kids, depending on where you look. And obviously, you look at USC, maybe they've got the most total points overall or the most total big-name recruits. Stanford has a small class, but they seem to have the most five-star kids. Who does have the best class, in your opinion, right now in the Pac-12?
Right now with ESPN, we have USC on top. But like you said, there's so much grouping, I think, in the Pac-12, especially this year. Looking at our top 40 classes, from number 12 overall, where USC is right now, to number 39 overall, where Arizona State is, you have eight Pac-12 teams. So I think, especially come signing day, when a program like Utah can jump into that mix too, you may end up having nine Pac-12 teams within, you know, 25 spots of each other nationally. It's going to be grouped up. I think at the top, USC has a real chance. Like you said, Stanford's class is just phenomenal, but because of the lack of numbers they have, probably not going to have more than 15 guys in that class maximum. I don't know if they can sort of make that jump because of those numbers. But I think at the end of the day, if you had USC, UCLA, Stanford's class, even Washington's class up there too, Colorado's class, another great class, I don't think any of those coaches are coming away shaking their heads on signing day.
Willie Taggart's already had to fire a coach and suspend a coach. There's been a few incidents now at Oregon. Have there been any immediate recruiting incidents then to follow? I mean, have they had a huge fallout as a result of those issues?
No, I mean, most recently they've picked up two commitments. I mean, I think this is sort of a national storyline where adults kind of want to talk about, oh, this is going to hurt them and they're going to have to recruit against this. But the recruits, they certainly don't seem to mind at this point. They really have connected well with Willie Taggart up there at Oregon. The staff that he's put together in terms of their recruiting abilities is really tremendous. And so they've really sort of been able to sidestep any of those having a real effect on recruiting. Now, I think where they might run into trouble is just the fact that they've only had a few weeks to put together their recruiting plan and go out and get guys. And Willie Taggart was not a name that was very well known on the West Coast and really in the entire West region. So they're going to have to fight that. I think if they come up short in these recruiting battles over the next few days here, and really what they've been able to do the last few weeks, I think it's just going to be because they didn't have much time to really go out and establish a relationship with these guys. But in talking to recruits, it just doesn't seem like any of those off-the-field problems have really sort of eliminated Oregon for anybody. I think they're going to do a great job pulling guys out of Florida. They've already picked up, since he's been there, a big-time cornerback commit in Thomas Graham from Southern California, who's already enrolled early up there. So you just don't see it affecting recruiting those particular incidents as much as maybe you thought when news broke about those things.
Eric McKinney's our guest, 1320K fan. So, Eric, looking at everything Utah battles against with the rest of the teams in the Pac-12, whether you want to talk weather or geographically or history or winning of the program, where should they stack up, just kind of based on those things, when it comes to recruiting class in the Pac-12? And where do you think it's realistic they have a chance to end?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see Utah being one of those schools that goes into a recruiting cycle thinking, hey, we're gonna easily, you know, sweep our way to the number one class in the conference. I think when you have USC and UCLA recruiting in Los Angeles, those two programs are always going to be up there at the top. And the way Stanford is playing right now on the field, their ability to match that academic and athletic success, they're recruiting at a level, maybe in terms of hitting on their targets, better than any program in the country. And then when Washington's playing well, that's another school that sort of recruits itself and is easy to get to. But I really see Utah kind of in that next area. And Utah is there. You know, Oregon is in there. Arizona State can jump in there. Colorado's in there. Like I mentioned earlier, there's so many Pac-12 teams sort of jumbled up. It really wouldn't be that much of a difference if Utah finished fourth or eighth. They could still end up with a very good class. So when you're jumbling those sort of next five or six classes, the difference between those classes can be sort of razor thin. But I think this year, especially with Utah, you're going to get a real sense of where they stack up. This is maybe the first year where they have really swung early at some big time targets, and they're still in the mix for quite a few of them. So I think we're going to get a good sense of whether they can keep doing that and landing on these guys, or whether they have to sort of maybe go back to, let's get in the mix with some of these lower tier guys, get them in, and then see if we can maybe recruit above them. But right now they're going after some pretty big names. We're really going to get a sense of kind of where they are right now and where they do stack up.
Arizona State and Arizona were both looking for their quarterback of the future all year last year. Will they be relying on development for guys that are already in the program, or did either of those schools find their quarterback of the future in this year's recruiting class?
Yeah, Arizona State has a couple of guys coming in. They were able to grab Blake Barnett, who transferred out of Alabama and will be there at Arizona State this year. They also were able to get Ryan Kelly, who's a senior, a high school senior out of Arizona. Arizona's class, it looked like they had Braxton Burmeister, a quarterback out of San Diego. He was supposed to enroll early at Arizona, didn't show up, ended up flipping to Oregon. That was one of Willie Taggart's sort of big recruiting wins so far. So it looks like Arizona does have they do have Rhett Rodriguez, who is Coach Rich Rodriguez's son. He's going to be coming in this year, but it looks like Arizona State, in terms of bringing in guys this year who could maybe contribute as first year guys. Barnett, obviously older and has some college experience. I think they probably did better in terms of finding maybe an immediate solution there.
Any other superstar quarterbacks to keep an eye on?
You know, this year out west, the quarterback class was good, but not great. I think in 2018, you're going to see that same kind of thing that we had out west in 2015, where you had a Josh Rosen, a Jake Browning, a Sam Darnold, so some real, real impact guys. But this year, Stanford's probably the big winner in terms of quarterbacks. They were able to get Davis Mills, the number two pocket passer. He came all the way out of the Southeast. And then USC with Jack Sears, they were able to flip him from Duke out of San Clemente High School, the same high school Utah fans are familiar with Travis Wilson, and Sam Darnold went there as well. And then Cal was able to get Chase Garbers. Cal sort of had, you know, the coaching change really sort of halted any sort of recruiting momentum, but able to get Chase Garbers, another quarterback out of Southern California. I think he's probably a big get for Cal, maybe their biggest get in this class.
You can find him on Twitter at E. McKinney, ESPN, ESPN Pac-12 recruiting reporter. Eric, really great stuff. Enjoy the next week.
Thanks, Eric.
Thanks a lot, guys.